This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
I am Andre Piazza. I am a product person in Austin, Texas.
Andre, how are you involved with user adoption?
Early in my career, my career is in tech, and I span in between the disciplines of engineering and marketing and product management. I noticed early in my career in tech that the segment that we call users is just a sub-segment of what we call usually as the customers, a higher umbrella to it. And I noticed that the users were actually the group that was underrepresented and was really poorly understood. And most of the time, they're really being pushed out, way in which they wouldn't be interacting with the sales and procurement teams. And when they were involved, their participation was very limited and late in the process. So that experiencing, noticing all that was really, the basis of my engagement with user adoption. So understanding that this is a recurring problem made me think and reflect. And when I had the opportunity in taking on product management type of roles, kind of advance and become a champion for the user early in the process, right? So shifting the gears, empowering users, and bringing that into the process as early as possible.
Andre, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
I think there's a story here to tell and help us understand, both successes and challenges. Let's consider this scenario. Development builds functionality. And then the user, for a variety of reasons, they do not know about it. They prefer a workaround instead of using the functionality. They're forced to have a workaround to what they're doing, or they're simply unable to use that functionality that was built. Now, that is a whole lot of a waste in that process. The complexity involved in creating all this is really a lot of development time, and this is really a lot of investment and costs, right? And on the user side, this is also a problem because, they're not capitalizing on the money that they invested for a variety of reasons. Reason why I told you this story is because now we can start to realize other places that should be participating in the conversation when we're talking about user adoption, such as marketing, right? They do not know about it. How can we message them? How can we onboard them into the solution and into this feature, right? If they're preferring workarounds, well, maybe our UX or user interface is not where it should be. Or if they are actually forced to do workarounds, maybe we're lacking a deeper understanding of all the personas involved. Maybe they are part of a team that needs to collaborate, and there are many interactions across the actors in the timeline, and we're failing to capture and understand that, right? Or maybe they are unable to use it just because they do not have the IT infrastructure, or even because of regulations and compliance. So now, all these keywords that I mentioned, marketing, UX, personas, cross-functional teams, regulations, infrastructure, all this should be carefully planned out as early as possible in the process. So when these challenges show up, there are mitigations, there are solutions, there are things that could be done in order for the user to adopt that. So some of the successes, you asked me, success is pretty much approach this early on in a cross-functional team kind of scenario and really deep understanding of users and all the personas involved. Challenges, pretty much everything that entails that, because all of a sudden you're bringing in a whole lot of other stories and ideas that should be processed by the development team when they're building that solution.
Andre, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Well, let's start with looking for the telltale signs of adoption, right? What are those? Higher net promoter scores, selling upsells and services, right? So when the customers are signaling for more, increasing depth and breadth of coverage within a particular account, right? Share a wallet, and the shift of the type of support tickets that your support team is receiving, right? Usually they switch from working on bugs to actually receiving more loads around new functionality that could be implemented, right? And one of my favorites is when the account, the customer, is calling you to the table to discuss new problems. That means in some of the cases that they have already adopted your solution, and now they have found, uncovered a new layer of problems. And they're inviting you because they see you as a preferred provider, someone that can be a trusted advisor in that type of situation. So that is a big win. And, you know, that is the thing that you should be looking for. Notice, all those, they're usually not metrics. They are signs, and they're coming from different areas of the business. So at the risk of me being a little redundant from what I mentioned before, we go back into, you know, suggestion number two, go cross-functional, right? Talk to your marketing teams to activate this message. Talk to your UX teams to onboard people, to create an interface that is easy to navigate, reduces friction, and talk to the sales and support teams because they leave the day-to-day lives of the customers out there. Right. And the third one is to infuse these lenses of the customer across the entire planning process. So when you're starting to plan about a feature, something that is incremental, or even especially even when you're actually going more on a revolutionary path, you're really building something, you know, completely new and fresh. Right. You need to bring into that the infuse the customer, the user into all that. So in that regard, going back to, into the previous question, my suggestion would be try to really understand who is the customer, who is the user, who is the buyer, who is the decision maker, who are the people that are going to be making the decisions, and try to build in a solution that works for each one of them. Specifically about the user, try to understand what are the challenges that they're going to have, what are their goals, and how you can cover all this entire process of building and messaging features, functionality, solutions in the marketplace to the user so they can adopt your solution.
Nandre, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Here's a book that I actually found recently, and I happen to have here by my side. It's called Lovability, and it was written by Brian DeHaaf. Mm-hmm. He's the CEO of AHA, who is a known provider for roadmaps. And no, I am not affiliated. This was a very nice find. And they really tell a very interesting story about user adoption here. Mm-hmm. Much more about, you know, the lovability factor, what that is, and how to break it down, and how to be able to nurture and instill each one of these elements into your product, right? I'm kind of using that a little bit of as a synonym of user adoption, pretty much because, you know, all they talk here can be really applied towards that, right? In-depth user interviews, open-ended questions, and that is really the basis for my suggestion, right? You really learn about user adoption is by getting out there, outside of the office, not talking necessarily about technology, usually avoid that. You talk about people. You talk about what it takes for people to change the way that they do things, right? Either from a broken story, from a broken situation, into a new bliss where they can thrive and they can do more. Or in the case in which, you know, they're still entrenched into limitations, you can help release them for some of these burdens, right? So talk to your sales teams, have a really very good line of sight into what is closing business these days, what sells, and why that sells. Talk to your support teams. Have a look into, you know, what is the mix of bugs versus new functionality that they're working on. And finally, also work with your marketing teams. Because when you're messaging a particular solution in the marketplace, if you have a very clear understanding of how you're telling that story, possibly that is going to be an indication of what really makes the users adopt your solution in that marketplace. So those are my suggestions.
Well, thanks, Andre.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for this invitation and this opportunity to talk to you.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.